In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Among all of the messages that we could hear in a end of a year and a beginning of another one, I find this message to be fitting for the year of 2022. The promise and the encouragement that the Lord said to His servant Joshua in the beginning of His ministry, when He told him, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I choose this one in particular because we all notice that the message that we hear often these days is a message of fear. Something that's so common now, now is like beating, people are competing to make us to hear bad news. So speak about the message of fear, how this message of fear is complemented in our minds and hearts, and how at the end to heed the message of the Lord to us to be of good courage. In regards to the message of fear, it is a theme, the one used now by the public and the social media. Every time we turn, we hear something that's bad. Even whenever there is some kind of hope, whenever people are saying there is hope now, there is a new vaccine or something against the pandemic, someone will come and tell us, no, it's not working well, and it still wants us to be afraid. This message of fear is designed to control us and to make us always to go back and try to listen to what is the update. And every time we try to find comfort in the news, we find more bad news. The fear news now and the message of fear is doubled in the media and in what we hear every day. And again, this is a theme. Wherever we turn, we just listen to bad news over and over and over. This man, Edmund Burke, who was a prime minister in England at a certain time in the 20th century, says, no passion so effectively robs the mind of all its powers of acting and reasoning as fear. And this is what we find ourselves in today. We are robbed of our reason, and we all try to protect ourselves and protect those people whom we care about. And this becomes overwhelming for us. We cannot even think in a way that's creative to do something for us to enjoy life. Everything is now is about how to survive and how to go from a day to another day. This message of fear is crippling to us and our children. Look what happened for us over the last 2 years. We are staying at homes and all the time we are afraid of to go out. What is going to happen to us? Not only the news about the pandemic, by the way. Every day we hear bad news and people telling us that if you speak your opinion, if you stand against what the media is saying, you will be labeled, you will be persecuted, and maybe you will lose your job if you just open your mouth and say, I don't agree. This message of fear, unfortunately, is complemented in our own minds and hearts by our own insecurities and our own fears. We are afraid to be rejected from others, so we avoid people. Instead of running to them and finding with them comfort and support, help them to succeed, and also they will help us, we are afraid of people. We're afraid to fail, so we don't try. I do not want to fail, so let me avoid the whole thing from the beginning. We are afraid from loneliness, so we surround ourselves with virtual friends. We run to the social media and try to get ourselves to be busy with the people who are maybe, they are not true people, just something that's fake, but this is because I'm afraid to be alone. We are afraid from death to the point that we no more enjoy life, to come to the church easily and enjoy. We have always to follow the news and what is happening. Is it safe to go there or not? With all the news about the variant of the virus and the new virus and another virus, this can go endlessly. And again, being afraid of death is something natural, but to the point we come to the point that we are not having any life to enjoy anymore, what is the value of life then? Death will be something even actually will be better. We are afraid of the unknown and what the future will carry to us, hearing every day threats that one day maybe you will not be able even to defend your church. People will come against us, and if we don't do whatever the community is proposing or planning, we might lose our freedom even to worship. So our insecurities add and complement to the message of fear. And this is what happened with the spies who went to spy the promised land. They came back, 10 of them were crippled already. They are not able to go. What they said was exactly the message that this kind of fear wants us to reach. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We're so little, we cannot do anything. I cannot succeed. I cannot save myself. I cannot save my family. And this is unfortunately where we find ourselves. Everything is pushing us to get there, to become in our own eyes like grasshoppers. This message of fear also is complemented by our overexposure to the negative message. We run from a negative message to another one. We try to turn the channel, maybe finding another channel will give me good news, and we don't find any. From a social media site to another site, from a friend to a friend, and all lead us to the same end, to be afraid and scared. Also, the message of fear is complemented by our bondage. When we fall in the bondage of sin, this will add to our fear. Because our comfort and our support comes from a relationship with God, that I know that I am in His presence. I live with Him. When we lose this kind of relationship, when we allow ourselves to be enslaved to sin, this fear will be augmented and will be multiplied. When Moses spoke to the people of Israel, promising them to go out, the bondage that Pharaoh put in them made them not able to receive this good news that we will be delivered. Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish of spirit and cruel bondage. Falling in sin and being enslaved to it will add also to our fear and make us all the time to feel, even God Himself I cannot rely on, simply because I made Him to be an enemy in my own mind, of course. So how we end up to be of good courage? How we heed the message of this, like, support that God gave to Joshua? Joshua is a human being like all of us who make mistakes. And he also is facing a giant enemy. He has to go through multiple wars. And this man has to carry it on his shoulder. But how he was able to receive the message? What made him to be of good courage? First, nothing is new. The message is repeated over and over and over. What we are living through today is not something unique. We always repeat this, which is not right. We say our time is the worst time. This is not true, by the way. There were times before things were even worse. There were times when our fathers who founded the faith were not able to worship, go to the church. We don't have this. Thank God we are still here. We are enjoying being in the church till this moment. The message is not new. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Anywhere, in Egypt or in the United States or any other place. Look here what the Lord said. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Please do not repeat the phrase that our time is the worst. This is not true. The message is the same. The threats are the same. There is the same. And Jesus is the same. The one who delivered, and He's still delivering, and He will deliver in the future. The second reminder for us to be of good courage is to read history. To go back and see how things went over the years. What happened to those people who tried to overcome the church and put an end to it? Look at, for example, a recent history, the Bolshevik revolution in Russia. In Russia, in 1917, there was around 35,000 churches. After this, by 20 years, churches went down to 500. Those people, the communists, they were able to demolish the vast majority of the churches in Russia. And what happened? In less than 50 years afterwards, the church is still there, and those people are no more. They are in the books of history. That's all. Where is Stalin? Where is Hitler? No one of them is surviving till now, and the church is still doing well. Read history. History will give you comfort. In history, you will find the hands of God working over all of these kind of obstacles, deliver his people from difficult time to rest and peace. The third way to be of good courage is to break the chain. Nothing will make us to feel comfortable and confident more than our repentance. When we live truly in the presence of God, when we make peace with him, when we reconcile, when we vow to ourselves that I will resist, I will not surrender to sin. This is what will make me feel confident. Joshua was confident not because of his power, not because of his experience. He is going to go through something he never did before. But he was confident because he was a penitent person. He lived in the presence of God. He did not suffer being in bondage and slavery to sin. The prodigal son, when he told himself, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. At that time, nothing would scare this man anymore. The fourth point to be of good courage, that we don't have to have answers for all of the challenges, by the way. Don't assume that anyone knows what he is going to do for everything that he or she is facing. No one can claim such wisdom. We might not know what to do in every time, yet our eyes are toward him. Because we know how to pray, because we know how to connect, then we are okay. And we will be okay. And the church will be okay as far as there are people who are still able to pray. Look at the prayers of Jehoshaphat. He was surrounded by many enemies. He's clueless. How am I going to fight against all of those people? They are much mightier than me. But he prayed this. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. If you speak today to any one of the leaders of the church about how we are going to face all of this movement of liberal education that's coming to the schools of our children, what is going to happen when all of the bathrooms are going to be mixed for boys and girls? I can tell you, none of them can tell you we have a plan. Honestly, we don't have a plan. But we know that at the end of the day, it's going to be okay. It's going to be well. Why? Because we can say like Jehoshaphat, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are toward you. Because we know what prayers can do, then we are confident. Things are going to be well. This is the message that we should carry to our children. When they come and ask us a question about how future will look like, give them this assurance, it will be well. Not because we know what we are going to do, but because we know that we are going to pray. And as far as we pray, we will be okay. The fifth reminder for us to be of good courage is the power of a solid conviction. When we believe in what we embrace as this is how we should live, this will give us power. Nothing will make us to be afraid more than to be hesitant about what we believe in. I'm not sure, and I'm really not ready to defend what I think is right. This needs to change. Look at Daniel. When Daniel vowed to himself that I'm not going to eat this kind of food, he was moving with a conviction. Conviction is not just an idea that I believe in. It's something that I would die for. I will hold on it even if it's going to cost me my life. This kind of conviction is what we are missing and what our children are missing. They have all of the good ideas. They know information, but they do not still have conviction that can keep them safe. Look at the three saintly youth when they said to Nebuchadnezzar, We are not going to worship this kind of image. We believe that God can save us, but if He doesn't, we are not going to change. We are not going to do whatever you are asking us. Saint Athanasius, with his conviction, was able to defend not only himself and his church, but to defend orthodoxy. We are today, we are Christians, we believe in the divinity of the Lord Jesus because of a man who had a conviction. He never looked at himself and said, I am a grasshopper. I am little. I am just one human being. He had a conviction. He lived by, and that's why he was of good courage. The sixth token to be of good courage, to be strong, is to reflect on the power and wisdom and goodness of God, the Pantocrator, who said that he knows the number of the hairs of our head. No one of us would care. We care about many other things, for sure. How can he, who cares about knowing the numbers of our head, the hair of our heads, wouldn't care about other things, about your future and about your children, about how to prepare for them whatever they are in need later, who uses everything for our good. I'm not telling you something from the Bible that you can go and see how God is using everything for good for his people, those people who love him. I am telling you about something from your own life. Just go and look backward. Look at what happened with you and see how many times God already changed what is bad and changed courses and made things to be sensible even while you were thinking that this might be the end of you. The seventh tool is token is to be guarded with the truth of the word of God against the lies of the enemy. Many of the tools used to scare us are all lies. Sadly, now the social media is a place where lies are to be spread. Don't take things as they are written, or as they are communicated, or as you want you to believe. Just take the time to think and to learn what is truthful about this. Not everything we hear is something that's right. This is again the same advice that God said to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. In the same assignment that God told him, go and fight, he is telling him, to be successful, just keep on the book, on the words that I taught you. Meditate in them day and night, and you will be okay. This is the same message for us. Nothing will make us to be of good courage except the word of God, knowing them, knowing the truth in it, and this will guard us against all of the lies that the enemy is trying to use to scare us. The eighth token is to defend your territory bravely. We all have territories to defend. You don't have to go and launch war against the world outside. It is enough to take care of your own territory. First territory is your mind. People now, whenever they tell them about what they need to do, they say, it's my body, it's my freedom, right? We hear this often. Why not to say the same? It is my mind, it is my freedom. Don't push things in my mind. I am not going to sit and watch and follow trash and allow this kind of garbage that goes around in the media to just be thrown into my mind day in and day out. Defend your mind against all of these kind of things. Your mind, it's your freedom. It's your home where you need to keep it clean from offenses. We cannot clear the wallet from offenses, but we can do the same. You can do this in our own homes. Nothing should be displayed in your computer or on your TV that is not according to God's will. No word should be said inside your house that is against His holiness. Whatever we say, whatever we deal with each other, even if we make mistakes, we go back and correct them. Because this house should be free from offenses. This is your territory. Defend it bravely. We will also defend other people around us. We will pick up the wounded among us. We are in the church here not to just come in and worship and go out. We look after each other. We see who is missing, who is in need, whom we can help. This is part also of our territories. We are entrusted over our brothers and sisters around us. You remember when God asked Cain, Where is your brother? What did he say? He said, am I his keeper? The answer is, yes, you are his keeper. He is your brother, and it is part of your responsibility to look after him. Do the same with your brothers and sisters at home and in the church. Your territory also includes your talents that God granted you in order to serve others with and make the world around yourself a better place. God did not grant you a good mind and health and wealth in order just to enjoy it by yourself. This is not the aim. This is not God's will. The ninth token is take refuge in the stronghold of the church. If you look at the church over 2,000 years, this kind of institution that never had an army, we never had resources like big companies or big nations or empires, still surviving till today. The promise for the church is, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Sometimes people speak about big companies and saying, this is too big to fail. Nothing is too big to fail, by the way. Who of us knows about a company that was the biggest one maybe in the 11th century? We do not know of any. All of those companies came to an end. And I am telling you, all of the companies that we look at today, and even the empires, the nations that we look at today, they will come a time when they will also, there will time to rise and time to fall. But this kind of an institution, miraculously, is still there. The church doesn't have an army, doesn't have resources like all of these big companies or big nations, but still there. If you want to be safe, it is your place. It is the place for you and your children. That this is the only place that is promised that even the gates of Hades will never prevail against it. Take refuge in the stronghold of the church that is defended by God himself. And then the last thing, last token, to be strong and to be of good courage, to remember the promises. Remind yourselves and your children with them over and over and over. Whenever you hear someone is scared, or speaking negatively about the future and anticipation of disasters, always remind yourself and them with God's promises. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, as he said to Isaiah and said to every one of us. The promise for us and the message is the same every year. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This promise will give us courage, will keep us strong, will keep us to keep trying always to do what is good, not being scared of anything around us. To the Lord always be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Many wishing you all many, many happy returns. كل سنة وحضراتكم طيبين.